Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So, let's jump right in.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Real good, real good. Am I saying your first name correctly, Nishant?
Yeah, it'll work.
Pleasure to meet you.
Same here, man. Thanks a lot for coming here.
My honor, my honor. I'm truly my pleasure.
Robert is the founder of HVAC Owners Group and founder and CEO of Thoughtful Innovations, a full-stack digital marketing company.
Correct.
These two are in themselves really time-taking projects in themselves, and you are managing two of them at once.
There's definitely never a dull moment in life. How about that?
Oh, wow. That is something I would look forward to.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Oh, that's amazing. So, Robert, as you would know, in this podcast, I love to know the different ways people experience their relationships.
Mm-hmm. So I will say that for myself, it's been a very eclectic experience when it comes to relationships. It's been a lot of different experiences in relationships, but one common thread that I found was that through it all, the common denominator in all those relationships was myself. And I don't have the best track record when it comes to relationships. I've been through a lot of very challenging situations in various relationships. And what I've come to realize is a lot of those situations stem from the person that I was and things that I carried with me from my past and things that I had been through and the type of impressions and the type of results that left on the way that I looked at things, on the way that I conducted myself, just in my overall overview of life and the way that I approached it.
Okay, so your past experiences, bad experiences, and was there some trauma as well that resulted in unexpected responses from your end, if I may say so?
Yeah. So, there were definitely experiences that I went through in life that left their mark, right? I think that in today's world, many of us are faced with environments that just feel oppressive and can be traumatic. I think that we're seeing, especially in current circumstances with what's going on with COVID and the economy and just the general state of affairs around the world, really, that we're seeing a lot of anxiety, we're seeing a lot of fear and a lot of frustration. I think that that's a trend that's been building over time, right? And so I think that all of us have been, have faced these type of experiences and gone through this type of pain. And in a lot of cases, at least in my case, I should say, that it took me a long time to be able to come to grips with some of the experiences that I had been through, with some of the things that I was exposed to just in general. And that I think that what I had a tendency to do was, because I wasn't being intentional with the way that I formed my understandings or in what my definition of those experiences were, that a lot of self-defense mechanisms kick in. And we, a lot of times, we don't even realize what we're defending against. We're just, we're just fighting to survive. And I think that at some point you have to kind of hold yourself accountable for standing still long enough to really get a bearing on what are we doing to ourselves? What are the philosophies that we've kind of indoctrinated ourselves to that are counterproductive and actually sabotage us being happy and fulfilled in any relationship in life, let alone one as intimate as a personal relationship with a partner.
That's actually something I have been discovering myself as well. Some of our past experiences shape us in a way, and those learnings kick in at an irrelevant time, and they disturb the current experiences as well. And yes, when you actively monitor your responses, when you are cautious that some past traumas are not impacting your life, that is when you heal. I believe that is the term you would use.
Yes, I think you hit it right on the nail, right? Being able to really come face to face with what we've been through. And even in cases where we might not have made the right choices, or in cases that we are disappointed in ourselves, understanding that we're human and giving us the space, giving ourselves the space to be human while still holding ourselves accountable for moving forward and evolving and growing and healing. I think, you know, that's definitely a process.
Yeah. I have understood this, that when you are hurt, the best way to move forward is heal. And the one thing I've learned or observed, I would say, is when you are hurt, there's always something underneath it that needs to be cured. So when you are hurt, it basically exposes that vulnerability under it. So you heal and you solve that vulnerability as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think once again, you hit it right on the head. I used to be in healthcare, and You know, if you get injured and the wound doesn't heal properly, you can end up with a systemic infection. You can end up with a festering wound. You know, the wound has to be debrided. You have to get it down to the healthy tissue. You have to understand, you have to control the infection, which to me, emotional pain is kind of like an infection, because once it sets root, it just kind of takes over the whole system. So you really have to dig into, you know, really find the healthy tissue and help that healthy tissue, help that healthy mentality, help that healthy outlook grow. I think that's the big key.
Wow, those are quite some experiences. I can, you know, see through that you have been through so many vivid experiences that it has, apparently it seems that you have changed as a person after all those experiences.
Well, you know, nothing causes change like pain, right? You stick your hand on a hot stove, you're going to move it as fast as can be, right? Okay. Now the problem is that movement inspired by pain can be very volatile. You don't know which way it's going to go. So especially when you're, I at least for me, when you're stuck in that cycle of pain, you have to be very intentional with what you're trying to accomplish and how you're trying to heal. And I think that a lot of times people tell themselves that they're trying to heal, but then they just keep, you know, beating themselves down. They keep hurting themselves, looking for you know, digging into what the problem is, instead of doing it from a standpoint of, look, I'm trying to move forward, I'm trying to heal, I'm trying to establish healthier patterns. A lot of times we use those previous experiences and that pain as another rod to just keep beating ourselves with, and you can't move forward like that.
That's actually insightful. I might even quote you on that, the cycle of pain.
And you know, it's true, you know, because here's the thing, right, is pain is very visceral. Pain is emotional, it's physical. The emotional and mental can cause physical pain. It can take over your entire life. I mean, we have conditions like neuralgia and fibromyalgia, all these other things that people are experiencing, and a lot of times, you know, it can be traced back, can be rooted in emotional and mental type of root causes, you know, and you know, we get stuck in that cycle, and it's so hard to put the brakes on and stop the momentum and say, you know, I'm not going to continue to spiral. I'm going to pull myself out of this, especially when we look around at our everyday life and everything's still hitting us in the head and everything's still, you know, we have all the evidence to believe that, oh no, you can't do this. You're not good enough. You are messed up, you know, and we just have to be willing to just push those voices aside and really latch on to who we are and how beautiful we are as human beings. And then understand that as soon as we find that within ourselves, that we can build from there.
Those are some a lot of experiences and stories I smell out there. Would you love to share some?
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's definitely been it's definitely been a challenging life at times, right? And you know, like you said, you know, it's easy to tell that there's been a lot of difficult experiences in my past. You know, from, you know, watching a lot of friends die, from being caught up in the wrong lifestyles to learning how to grow into myself as a man, realizing that the life that I used as, you know, that I had previously lived didn't dictate what future I could have unless I allowed it, to continue to shape and mold how I approached life and how I saw life and how I saw my opportunities in life. And I think that one of the biggest fears when I first started trying to change myself and move forward and really overhaul my life, one of the biggest fears I think was, am I strong enough to really dig into this? Am I enough to help myself heal? Am I enough to change the way that I look at life, even while in the midst of all this pressure and all this challenge and all this difficulty? You know, am I enough? And what I found was, is that while standing at the beginning of that journey, it looked like there was this huge insurmountable mountain of pain and challenge and difficulty and hardship in front of me that I was going to have to conquer in order to heal, in order to move forward, in order to improve my life, in order to have healthy relationships in my life, right? And what I found was, is that as scary as that mountain looked, it didn't compare to the pain and the devastation that not getting to the other side of that mountain would cause in my life, right?
You were in that cycle of pain.
That's right. Because when you trap yourself in that cage, you never move forward. And if you never move forward, nothing around you changes, right? Mm-hmm. We try to change our lives by changing things outside of ourselves. We want a bigger house. We want a better job. We want a better relationship. We want a nicer car. We want all this stuff. But the truth is that no matter what you put into your life, you're going to end up right back in the same position because the person at the center of it is still the same person. Until we change the inside and become the person that has the good house, that has the good relationships, that is happy, until we become that person, we can never have that life. And so really, to change the external, it starts with looking inside and helping yourself heal. At least that's what I believe.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we think that we want those external things, but what we really need is to heal and be strong in here. Inside.
You're exactly right. Happiness is an inside job, right? Yeah. You can change whatever you want to on the outside, but if the core is still rotten, you're not going to bear good fruit, right? True. You can't get good fruit out of a bad tree, just like you can't get bad fruit out of a good tree. It doesn't work like that. So you start with the vessel, and then you produce the fruit. At least that's my experience.
Yeah, that's true. Would you like to share the story behind it? What was your cage of suffering? How you got out of it?
So, you know, at a very early age, I got wrapped up into a lot of the wrong crowd, a lot of the wrong lifestyles. I made a lot of very horrible choices.
Like developed what?
I don't want to go in too deep into specifics.
Okay. Painful. But
very, very painful, very violent. I was in an environment where there was a lot of violence. There was a lot of, a lot of very, very traumatic environments. And, you know, I can count on one hand with fingers left over how many people in my life from then are, you know, not only just alive, but are alive and not locked up for the rest of their life or not serving long-term prison sentences. you know, I've seen what it, I've experienced what it's like to really be, you know, knee deep in a whole lot of no good options, and wow. and knee deep in a lot of very painful and a lot of very visceral experiences. I've buried friends from overdoses. I've buried friends from gun violence. I've buried friends from domestic violence. I've seen a lot of loss, and I spiraled in that emotion. I got wrapped in that emotional spiral for probably close, you know, I can really say that it was probably the age of from 30 to 35 that I took stock of my life and said, you know, all of this anger, all of this pain, where I'm at now, this, you know, this isn't acceptable. I had 5 kids by 5 different women. I had responsibilities to take care of. I wasn't a happy person. So as much as I loved my kids, I realized that I couldn't give them the love they deserved because I was broken inside. And, you know, even now I have to be cognizant of the way that I respond to things and what my initial reactions might be, because I realized that the life that I went through, the pain, the violence, that it's changed, that it's damaged my proper response mechanisms have been damaged. And so I have to be cognizant of that. And when I feel that emotional, that visceral response, you know, I have to ask myself, well, is this really what you feel? Is this really the best way to respond to this? Is this really the best way to see this situation? Because there's a lot of people that look up to me where I'm from because they see somebody that made it out of that. And so, you know, realizing that, you know, I have 5 children, I have people that, you know, don't look up to much in life, but look up to me for an example of somebody that made it out of that environment and done something good with themselves, you know, that I can't just leave them there, right? I can't drop the ball. I have to really live up to that onus. I have to really hold myself accountable for healing and looking at life through a better lens. You know, that motivation, that inspiration, that drive is what powers me, really.
That is one of the most important things, making sure that your peer group or the people, when you see someone suffering the same thing you once suffered, you can actually relate with them at some level. You can feel their pain just by seeing them. That is something what I have learned. And that is why you feel obliged to have that drive. Okay, I need to help them.
You know, and I think that's exactly it, right? I mean, I think that too often we isolate ourselves in our pain instead of looking for the way that we really are all connected in this, right? We're all in this together. There's only one world. And no matter how big everybody thinks it is, the truth is the world isn't as big as what they think it is, right? And so the butterfly really can cause a monsoon on the other side of the world, right?
Yeah.
So instead of causing a monsoon, what would it be if we really looked inside of ourselves and found the courage and found the strength and found the humanity to really understand how connected we are and work towards lifting each other up instead of isolating ourselves in our own cages of pain?
That can literally change the world for better, so much better.
Amen.
And when you have been through such a time when you, like as you mentioned, can literally count the people who are close to you and alive and not in prison.
So, you know, a lot of time, you know, I'm very active online, obviously running a digital agency. And so I'm, you know, and I have people that connect with me that have moved out of state that message me and, hey, we love to see what you're doing. Keep it up. You and I connected on LinkedIn, you know, from the positive posts that were up there and your positive posts as well, because you definitely put up some great philosophies and lessons in your postings. I just try to be open. I mean, I have friends that still live in the area that we still catch up every now and then. Unfortunately with COVID going on, there's not as much of that
I miss my friends actually a lot.
Me too. You know, I definitely miss being able to, you know, sit down at the park or throw a barbecue or, you know, anything like that. But those days will come again. You know what I mean? And so in the meantime, it's just a matter of just really being open to whatever messaging or whatever communication they reach out to me with. And I just really try to do that, because I know what it's like to be the guy that feels like, well, there's no way that I'm going to be able to change this life, or that I'm stuck in this position, or that I'll never be better than who I am, and how hopeless and how destitute that really feels. And I don't like the concept of people feeling that way.
So, amidst all this violence and troubles, how did you actually fall in love?
So
two things in life are so worlds apart. One is here, one is here.
So what I'll tell you is, you know, I have loved and I have been in love, but I don't know that I've been successful at loving yet, right? Because what I realized is, and I'm single, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized that I had to be single because I had to heal myself more to really be the partner that someone deserved. So while I loved the individuals that I've been with, and there's been, you know, a few of them that we had long-term, very deep, very committed relationships, but that because of what I had been through and because the ways that I was damaged and hadn't healed, that I couldn't be the other half that they deserved, which obviously leaves, you know, damages the relationship within itself and puts a lot of extra strain and hardship. If the other spouse is, you know, you can't expect someone to put more into a relationship than what you're able to. And that was part of my healing process, is realizing that I hadn't grown to the point where I could put enough into a relationship to really be that well-rounded spouse yet. Hence the reason that I'm single right now, is learning how to, learning how to grow myself in that fashion. So really it was just getting to the point where I realized that by not having healed all the way or healed enough that I could be that spouse, that not only was I damaging myself more by not being able to live up to my concept of what I should be doing in a relationship, but that I was also taking the risk of damaging someone else, because they needed a partner like that. And so, at present, it's just me taking the time to really move myself forward in this, and mm-hmm. and you know, and then when it's ready and when the time is right and the person's right, you know, it'll all, and the stars and the moon and the sun align, you know, it'll all come together.
The perfect fairy tale couple.
I believe in it, and I know it will come.
I am certain it will. And once you're ready, you will have that fairy tale life.
But, and I'm a firm believer, like, right? Life hands us the things that we need when we're ready for them, right? And yeah. And so that's what I'm holding on to.
So with that, do you think that your previous relationships with the five ladies, I believe, each of them, it was maybe because something you needed at that time, and so life handed you what you needed?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I think that, you know, here's the thing, right? Is every person, every experience, every relationship, everything in our lives, I am a firm believer, is in our life for a reason. Now, whether we discover that reason or whether we discover the true reason, that's completely on us. It's whether we're willing to push aside the visceral experience, whether we're willing to dig deeper, whether we're willing to listen close enough to what life is trying to whisper to us or show us or give to us. You know, that's a whole different story. And I can tell you that I personally, there's been plenty of times that I look back and I say, if only I had realized that sooner, right? But yeah. Once again, you know, life hands us what we're ready, what we need when we're ready for it, I think.
I have not been aware of something like this. So I cannot even imagine how your mindset would be when you would first meet your first partner. And how it changes you, that is beyond understanding for me.
Each one definitely left an impression. each one had the potential to leave a much bigger impression if I had been further along in my evolution. So, you know, I think that the impression that the relationship leaves on you is directly dependent upon how open you are to actually learning from that relationship and actually embracing that individual.
Yeah, that's true. And what was the impression that you got? What was the learning that you got? Or what was the mistakes that you think you made?
So my first relationship actually gave me my oldest son. He's 24 now. Amazing. Wow. Young man. And that was at a time in my life where really I was in a very bad emotional place. And we were together for some years. Looking back, I wish that I had been more evolved because she was an amazing woman. But I think that you know, the gift she gave me in the form of my son has definitely been something that carried me through much harder times in my life that came after that. And so while that relationship, you know, unfortunately didn't turn out to be a lifelong relationship, it gave me a blessing that will definitely carry me through a life. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. What I believe, there are three main motivators for anything, for a person to do anything. And well, you must be knowing, the one who has a why can bear any how. And those whys, they have to be big enough. It is either a fear, love, or greed, depending on the person and situation.
I think that you're exactly right. And, unfortunately, you know, the wrong motivations pushed me for too long in life, but fortunately life sprinkled me with some blessings along the way, mostly in the form of my children that you know, helped mm-hmm. give me an understanding that I did want to be more than I was. And I did want to grow past the person who I was at that point. And so each one helped to add that the insight, the understanding, the self-awareness. And I still struggle with it. I mean, I got a teenage daughter right now that gives me the blues. You know, she hit those teenage years and, you know, night and day difference. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, because our greatest hardships carry within them our biggest lessons, if we're willing to dig into them and really find them.
Yeah, I can partly relate. I have not taken that much hardships, or maybe I can say that I enjoyed them more to think of them as hardships or pain. So
I wish I had learned that sooner, I'll tell you. Because now I can embrace it, right? Now I can understand that, look, if I'm going through this challenge, it's because I need to either learn something or I need to strengthen myself in some fashion. Now, what is it? You know, how is it? What is it that I need to understand out of this situation? And I can embrace it now. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that every time it's just simple like that, and there aren't times that you aren't like, yeah, okay.
I don't think it ever is.
That's right. And you can reframe it, but but now I've evolved to the point where I can reframe myself. I can sit myself down and say, okay, now let's look at this from a productive angle. You know, and it might still be a challenge, but then I can, you know, start to really embrace it and take it in and learn what it's worth.
Okay, with that, since we are talking about the patterns, did you observe any pattern in your relationships? Maybe some specific thing that was repeating which you had and was the reason why you had to take a long break?
I realized that I can be very set in my ways, right? I can feel like I can have a set idea of how things should go, and that it can be very challenging for me to compromise. I think that's true of most of us, that being able to, you know, open ourselves up to how somebody else sees a situation, especially one that's that we're very emotionally connected to, that can be a very difficult thing. And it wasn't something I was very good at. I could see ways that the fear that stemmed from previous experiences could could hijack and could control the way that I responded to similar circumstances or things that were, you know, that kind of triggered those type of emotional reactions. I realized that there were pieces of me that I really needed to grow and that I needed to develop, just as far as my openness and my willingness to be vulnerable within a relationship. You know, I came from an environment where you couldn't really show vulnerability. And so being able to open myself up in emotionally in a relationship is something that still is, you know, it's a work in progress, but I think that we're all striving to evolve for all right. Stagnation leads to extinction. So either you're trying to grow and develop or you're running out of time.
I totally back that. Either you grow or you will pretty much are not living anymore. If you're not growing, you're at the very best living the same life again and again.
Surviving is not living, right?
So
if we're growing, if we're not developing, if we're not moving forward, if we're not really embracing the joy and the exhilaration of all the, you know, all the challenges and surprises that life has in store for us, then, you know, we're not living. And if you're not living, then what's the point of it all then?
Yeah. Though this statement is usually used with the job and entrepreneurship, but as they say, don't live the same life or don't live the same year 40 times and call it a life.
That's right. You know, and yet we do it so often. And most of the time we're living some of the worst experiences of the same life over and over again for 40 years, because we can't move past that emotional anchor that holds us in that place of trauma and that place of pain, or we can't open ourselves up to a different life because we don't have any evidence, right? Any hard evidence right there in front of us that's possible for us. And that all stems from really not opening yourself up emotionally and healing those wounds, that you're just keeping yourself anchored in a negative outlook and you're not moving forward.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Could it be the love of pain, or could it be that the pain is familiar, so you would rather take something familiar than to go into something that is uncertain?
You know, what is the saying? It's not the fear of failure isn't the biggest fear. Fear of success is, right? Because if you're faced with the opportunity to grow and succeed and create the life that you want, mm-hmm. but then you drop the ball in the process and find out you weren't really capable, what does that do to you? And I think that at least in my experience and in a lot of individuals that I've met along the way and that I've known along the way, I think that the truth is that it's more that fear that they'll have the opportunity to have that life, but then they won't be the person for that life, or they won't be able to live up to that life. And so, you know, we get comfortable in our uncomfortability. Like you said, you get used to the environment that you're in, and you get comfortable in that environment, right? And our brain is designed for us to survive. That's the whole purpose of the brain. Not for us to be comfortable, not for us to have a good life, not for us to be successful. The whole purpose of the brain is survival. And so the brain knows that in this set of circumstances, in this type of life, we've lived. Now, we might not have been happy. We might not have been comfortable. It might not have been successful. But we know that we can survive in this pattern of existence. Now, you change that pattern of existence and you introduce all this uncertainty. Can we survive? Can we do it? You know? And so the brain has a natural tendency to keep us surrounded in circumstances that subconsciously it knows we can survive because we've already survived it. So a lot of times that growth, you know, is, you know, everything inside of us screams, no, no, because of the uncertainty that it introduces in the pattern. And that's havoc on the subconscious mind that's trying to say, hey, look, we know you can survive through this. So just stick with what we know we can survive, no matter how much pain, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how unhappy you are in those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know, if you lay on a bed of nails long enough, it feels that that's all you know for a bed, right?
Wow. That is so true, actually. I have read that in stories when I was a young kid. But now that you bring it out in this context, it makes so much more sense.
You know, I think that's what happens, right? We build these cages around ourselves without even realizing that we're building them, you know, and all done with erroneous definitions, you know, defining how something turned out this way was because it happened like this, when a lot of times that's not even why that was the result you got, right? And, so for instance, right, individuals that are afraid of the water because they have a negative experience first time they get in the water, right? So automatically they anchor themselves in this position, I can't swim. And there's people that will go their entire life never learning to swim because they had that one bad experience at the beginning of things and they were never able to move past that emotional anger. When the truth is, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you can learn to swim, right? But if you've anchored yourself emotionally in a place where you don't believe you can swim, you're never, and don't push past that barrier, you're never going to learn to swim. And I think that we do this with a lot of different things in life.
Okay. All right. How can we translate this learning or this wisdom into relationships? Because when you would move into a relationship for the first time, or when you meet a girl for the first time, things are totally new. It's just like entering a new world, practically.
The honeymoon phase, right? Everything's beautiful. Their snores are even cute, right? Ooh, it's,
so true,
It's understanding that no matter how much you learn about somebody, there's always more to learn about them.
Yes.
And so you can always keep yourself interested and curious. If you care about a person, you should always be wanting to learn more about that person. And so I think it's just really learning that the more you learn about yourself, the more you realize there is to learn about others. And the more you care about somebody, the more you really want to learn about them. And so just being dedicated to that curiosity and that appreciation of the relationship itself. And understanding that it's, you know, there's don't let perfection be the enemy of the good, right? There is no such thing as perfect when it comes to ourselves, let alone when it comes to a relationship with someone else. So, you know, find that middle ground, find that compromise, and it stems from being happy within yourself and being able to be open and vulnerable and curious within that relationship.
Yeah, perfection is what I always say. Perfection is a myth, and it's not wrong to chase perfection, because when you chase perfection, you do achieve excellence. But what happens more often than not, like, excellence is something which requires persistence. And most of the times in chase of perfection, people get frustration. Okay, I have not perfected it. Then they go into negative affirmations, if you may say, I cannot do it. I cannot do anything. Yep. Then they go into guilt. And then that is when they sabotage things, because they feel like they don't deserve it.
No, I couldn't have put it any better. You're right. It's one piece builds on the other, and next thing you know, you're just stuck in that hamster wheel of negativity and don't even realize that you're there.
Yeah, just like that. Sometimes you might not even know which small thing, a tiny thing or tiny incident actually triggered something that will just like the butterfly wings resulted in a tornado some time later or at another place right in your life.
That's you hit it right on the nail. And that's it. And it's being able to spot that pattern that, okay, I know this pattern. I know what this pattern is doing. I know this isn't the way that I want to go, and being able to put the brakes on and move past it. I think that's key to it, right? Really being in tune with yourself and your own emotional responses enough to spot when that spiral is beginning, and being able to say, okay, no, I'm not going to do that, right? I'm creating a new pattern. I'm going to make a different choice because I'm worth it.
Yeah. See, it's so great. There are fireworks going around. If you can hear.
Well, thank you.
Okay. The thing that makes me the most curious in this is, these are something that you would understand with experience and with wisdom. If you are going in for the first time into anything, and with that, when you go into relationships, that's something which involves all of you, your personal life, your professional life, and your self time also gets consumed because, well, at the end of the day, you are spending most of your time with them. And even when you are at work, there is communication and you do care for that person because you feel that you are responsible for that person. You know, because it's also special because it's the first time you feel being responsible for something, for someone.
So I think that the most important part is to be honest with yourself and know what you're really looking for, right? Because if you know, when I first started putting my business together and I first started, you know, changing myself, one of the hardest realizations I had was that I really didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what made me happy. I didn't really know what I liked. I mean, I had this vague understanding, you know, of what I thought I wanted and what I thought I liked. But as far as really sitting myself down and holding myself responsible for clear articulation or a clear understanding of those, I didn't know. And so I think it starts with really holding yourself accountable for understanding what you want in a partner. What are the things that I need in a spouse for me to feel connected, for me to feel really, really, for me to really embrace that person and feel like they help fulfill me? You know, what is it that I want out of that spouse? And then also, what is it that I need to be within myself in order to attract that type of partner to me? Because in order to have the type of partner that you want, you have to be the type of partner to be that partner. And so often we like to push the blame and the onus off on others when it really comes down, it's our responsibility. Our lives are our responsibility. Our relationships are our responsibility. And you have to take full responsibility for it, because the moment that you abdicate, the moment that you give away responsibility, you give away the ability to control that, right? If I'm not responsible for it, I can't control it. If I can't control it, I can't impact it, right? And really, when the only thing at the end of the day that we really control is ourselves. And so what is it that I need from me? What is it that within myself I need to be? And what are the expectations that I really have for the person that I want to be with?
Yeah, actually, it touches on the spiritual aspects of having a partner. That, and actually, in everything in life, you attract who you are. And as Deepak Chopra famously says, "I am the universe." So, in his words, I create everything around me by being that person. So when you change yourself.
I completely agree, right? The world is a mirror. It shows you back who you are, whether you might not like it and you might not see where that piece is hiding, but if it's showing it to you, it's because somewhere in you, that piece is there and you need to figure out how to fix it or how to grow it or how to heal it.
That is something I can really, again, quote you on.
Well, thank you. Please feel free.
Thank you. Okay, Robert, let's wrap this up with one more thing. What do you think youngsters or those people who are entering their first relationship should think of? One thing is not to aim for perfection, and more importantly, not to get frustrated because they cannot attain perfection.
That, but right.
What would your personal experiences would suggest them? Okay, do not do this or do this something.
Start with knowing yourself. Start with really knowing yourself, knowing what you want, knowing what you expect, knowing what you're able to give, because you will not receive anything more than you're able to give. And you know, and whether you realize it or not, if you don't articulate it, who you are and what you want to yourself, then you're going to have a bunch of erroneous understandings and definitions dictating what type of people come into your life. So start with knowing yourself, what you want and what you're willing to give.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what if there's a difference between what you want and what other person can give, and what you can give is less than what other person wants?
So hurt people hurt people, right?
True, and so true.
And I know I personally have to live with the fact that, you know, there were several relationships in my life where I wasn't the person that person needed, uh-huh. and that hurt that person. So I hurt a person who later on will go out and probably hurt others until they heal the pain or the damage or the pain that they're going through. And not like I devastated somebody, but I have to be honest. I have been unfaithful. I have been unavailable. I have been, you know, I haven't been the best partner in plenty of relationships. And so once you start to learn how to love yourself, you realize that loving yourself means that you don't ever want to put yourself in a position where you have to see yourself in a light that detracts from who you are and the type of person that you want to be. And so if you can't be enough for that person, mm-hmm. you should love yourself enough to be honest about it and care about that person enough to be honest with them about it, so that you never have to look at yourself in a way that hurts you about the choices you made or the way that you dealt with somebody or the way that a relationship went. So be honest, right? Because in the end, if that's really not what you want and you're really not able to give that person what they need, it's not going to work out anyway. And the course of a relationship not working out, if you're not willing to step up to the plate and give more and be more and do more, you're mm-hmm. always going to go through more pain during during the course of that relationship breaking apart. So be honest, right? Be honest with yourself and be honest with the person that you're with. If it's what you want, then you step up to the plate and you grow yourself enough to give and do what the other person deserves. But if it's not the right match for you, don't put both of you in a position that's only going to cause pain.
I cannot have put it better, because initially emotions would push you to, okay, maybe you can manage. Maybe you can manage this. Maybe you can manage that. Maybe you can be okay with a bit less. But what really ends up happening is that a bit of what you cannot get or a bit of what you cannot give, it keeps pinching you again and again, and you get hurt. And just like you said, hurt people hurt people.
That's right. You know, it's like a, you know, you get a grain, you get a few grains of sand in your boot or in your shoe. You know, initially it's a little bit uncomfortable, but you can keep moving. But if you keep that sand in your shoe day after day, day after day, day after day, eventually it leans into a wound, which then worsens, you know. And so there's a process behind it. And if you're not honest and look at things honestly from the beginning, you're still going to go through that process. The pain's still going to be there. The uncomfortability, the mismatch, the pieces that you're missing are always going to be missing. And it's always going to, you know, and eventually that pain is just going to keep building.
That makes a lot of sense. And that is actually something a new person, someone with, you have teenage kids, so you would understand it much better maybe. And since you have been through that age yourself, when you are at this age, you have a lot of hormones that are pushing you to explore, so as you say, and then you're a bit more emotional than usual. Being the rebel adds up, and the feeling of being invincible.
Yeah,
deadly combination.
You know, like I tell my teenagers, you know, keep everything in context. You know, no, not every relationship is meant to be the rest of your life. That doesn't mean that, you know, you shouldn't enjoy the seasoning that it has to offer your life, but also keep it in context and be honest about the context that the relationship is in, right? Don't make somebody out to be your, you know, this is my end all be all, if that's not really what they are. You know, enjoy the moment. We have moments. You know, some people will be in our lives for seasons, and some people will be in our lives for the life, you know, and just enjoy what it is that it's supposed to be, but don't, you know, but be honest about what that context is.
Yeah. You know what, in a way, what you're talking about is actually partially meditation, live in the present.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in that.
From what I have experienced, what I have learned, meditation is being in present and focus in what you are doing, not thinking about future or dwelling on past.
Just being right here and taking it as it comes.
That's the sum of it. Thanks a lot, Robert. And as a matter of fact, I am so astonished you have managed to build two large firms while you are healing yourself and taking care of 5 kids. That's like, even one is so time taking and emotionally overwhelming that, okay, I do not have some personal experience. I'm too young for that, but.
You, some days, you know, what I've come to understand is some days I'll get it right, some days I'll get it wrong, but I'll always have tomorrow to pick it up and get it a little bit better. So, you know, I take life as it comes and just enjoy it, because it's going to come anyway.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks a lot for sharing all your wisdom and your stories.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a true pleasure. I'll look forward to going back and watching the podcast.
I would love that. And I would love to have you again sometime soon.
Anytime. Let me know.
Sure thing. Thanks again, Robert.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You have a great afternoon.